and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it's another one of those star-studded extravaganzas today. It's brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Goldie Hawn on the big show today. And also, hopefully there will not be a lot of crying, but there will probably be some crying. Amy Yazbek, my good friend, on her new book on her ex-husband, or not ex, pardon me, late husband. John Ritter, who I also knew. Fabulous, touching, amazing new book. Amy Yazbek, next hour on The Big Show. There sometimes is crying in radio.
Sometimes.
And there may be a little bit.
Yeah.
She's also hilariously funny. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You know, once in an eon, I get invited out, and then I do. I make some giant faux pas, and then I'm not invited out for another year or so.
What did you do now?
Nothing. I'm just saying, the last time I was invited out, I got to see Joe Klein.
That's right.
Yes, journalist extraordinaire. I got invited to Robin Michelle Reiner's house for a dinner party honoring the aforementioned Joe Klein, who joins us now. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. The last time I spilled wine on Christine Lottie, which I managed not to do at your dinner party.
Ah, that's good.
But it was
terrific.
Yeah, no, she is. It was Bill Maher was there, and of course, a star-studded cast of people to hear about your trip. And it was, I have to say, it was fascinating to get to hear you speak in person.
Well, I don't know about that. I was just reflecting. I mean, I was kind of discombobulated after 24 days on the road.
Well, let's talk about this is the election road trip 2010 that you did for Time Magazine. And I have to tell you, I love the whole idea of it because I thought, you know, you're right. We are so sort of immersed in this media culture that, you know, you say everybody has like people either watch Fox or MSNBC. They get their sound bites. But you were saying you wanted to just go on the road and talk to real people and not just take the media spin or the media storyline, right?
Right. I mean, you know, in the past, a lot of the time I've spent out in the country, and I've spent a lot of time out in the country, has been, you know, in the middle of hot political campaigns, like presidential campaigns in Iowa, New Hampshire, and so on. And you know, in times like that, you get to see a lot of professional voters, voters with their own sound bites and so on. Right. And you don't have a chance to really sit down and talk to them. And what I tried to do on the trip was, the first thing I did was I put out an all-points bulletin in the Time Magazine readers saying, here's the itinerary. If I'm coming anywhere near you and you have someone you want me to meet, someone you respect or your coworkers, your family, let's do it. And we did about, you know, 12, 15 meetings like that and really got a chance to talk in depth with people, which was, the most important aspect of the trip.
Well, and I find that fascinating, Joe, because I often say on this show, and I'm sure, you know, you're aware of it too, that it is amazing how the media gets a story or a storyline, and for instance, in this last election, most of them proved to be untrue. So, I mean, the fact that you just went out to go, I want to see what people are really saying or really feeling, because, you know, for instance, you know, one of the things you talk about the storyline is people are angry. People are angry. What did you find when you went out?
Well, there are some angry people out there, and they're the ones who get on television, but the vast majority of people are scared. You know, they're anxious. They are freaked out. They're worried that, you know, that the economy isn't going to come back. They're really frightened that China's eating our lunch, and that we're destined to slip off, you know, to no longer be number one. That's the biggest fear, that their kids aren't going to live as well as they have.
Right. Well, I mean, you quote a candidate, Brian Lentz, that you followed, who said the atmosphere down here on the ground level doesn't match what you see on TV. People are frustrated and very concerned, but angry? I don't see much of that. You get a certain percentage, a small percentage of people who get their news from Fox and MSNBC. You can tell who they are immediately because they have the same sound bites. And that's true, that the country, I think, has gotten very sort of segmented like that.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's part of the age. I mean, we're living in the golden age of marketing, and marketing sells to our differences rather than to the things that we have in common. And so you have these boutique, you know, cable news stations that only sell to a certain segment of the population.
You were saying, you know, in general, you didn't trust the things you're seeing on TV and reading in the paper. So, you know, basically you drove across the country right diagonally from New York to L.A. And I think the main thrust of what you found, you said it's a complicated country, more complicated than a collection of sound bites. What was your general takeaway?
Well, you know, I went out with no expectations at all. You know, I just wanted to hear what people were concerned about. I didn't know what they were going to be concerned about. And it turned out that they were, you know, the big surprises were how, you know, how they were beginning to put two and two together about the financial community and how the bankers have really, really screwed with the country over the last 30 years. And also with, you know, the numbers of jobs that have been expressed overseas over 30 years now, as those pile up, people are becoming more and more and more skeptical about free trade and wondering whether there's any alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things I didn't anticipate. I didn't anticipate free trade being the big question that it is. And the thing about it is that you just don't hear the president talking about China. You don't hear the president talking about a lot of the things that really concern the people I've met.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, you know, that you tried to look into is the stimulus, because you were saying, you know, again, everybody has their set of talking points. And that, it sounds like, varied widely as well, widely sort of conflicting stories about whether the stimulus has worked.
Well, you know, part of it is political malpractice on the part of this White House. I mean, 95% of the people got a tax break out of that stimulus package, but I don't think very many people know that. Not very many people know that a third of the stimulus package went to preserve, you know, cops, firefighters, and teachers on the state level. And until this summer, they didn't see the jobs part of the stimulus package. And now you can't drive 30 miles in this country without hitting a road crew. So people are beginning to understand what that was about. They're also beginning to see that the auto bailout might not have been a bad idea. That it's probably a pretty good idea. What they still have no idea about is the health care plan and the financial regulation reform package that the Congress passed.
Well, yeah, and speaking of the stimulus, I mean, I love the one guy you quoted, you know, in terms of the consultant for the steel industry said, don't let anyone tell you the stimulus isn't working. People are ordering steel again. General Motors and Chrysler are building cars again. My skills are in demand. I've been on the road a heck of a lot more this year than last.
That stuff is certainly happening, but it's not happening enough. It's not big enough. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that if the president went about announcing big stimulus packages, you know, stimulus things, if he opened a nuclear power plant or two, that kind of thing would get people's attention. But they don't see, they don't see it in a big way except for the road crews.
Right, right. Well, Joe, when you say, I'm not looking to prognosticate in time. You say, I know what the polls are saying, it's going to be a big Republican year. But, you know, you said, I'm not going to do what a lot of journalists, yourself included, often do, troll for quotes that reflect the polls. I'm just going to report what I think is. So now I'm asking you to prognosticate, I guess. But what was your sense? Is it going to be the, Republican tidal wave that the media is telling us?
I have no idea.
You're a smart man.
Based on my reporting, I have absolutely no idea. You know, based on, you know, people who take close look at polls and average them out and put them all together, like Nate Silver at 538.com, it looks like it's going to be a Republican year. I just don't know how big a year. I think that that the Republicans may well have oversold this year. I mean, just think about it. They can win 38 seats in the House of Representatives and still not control the House, and it'll be seen as a disastrous loss for them.
Right.
So they're really misplaying the expectations game.
Mm-hmm. The Republicans are, you say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joe, I mean, I don't see much political competence on either side this year. And the thing that is most worrisome is that the stuff that people are really most afraid about and most concerned about aren't being addressed.
Well, Joe, what is your take on the whole Tea Party? I mean, just some of these you know, Christine O'Donnell, as you know, just had this debate. And I mean, I think, I hate to say it like this, but Sarah Palin, I think, started this spate of, as you know, Chris Matthews would say, no nothing candidates. She got, you know, stumped on the same question Sarah Palin did. She couldn't think of a Supreme Court decision that she disagreed with.
Well, you know, the amazing thing is that, well, first of all, Christine O'Donnell, you'd think that she was running for president, given the amount of coverage that we've given her, right. which is kind of crazy. But the new thing is that incompetence is now passing for authenticity.
It's
really amazing. I'm not a politician. I'm stupid. That's the prevailing line.
I know nothing, and I have no qualifications of any kind.
And you know, that's something new. That's a new product. But if the American people buy it, we deserve to be number two or number three. When you start celebrating the incompetence in the society rather than the smartest people and the most sophisticated people, then you get a society that's in deep trouble.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I've had over the years people ask me if I'm going to run. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm a fart joke radio comedian. And now I'm like, I look like the smartest, but I'm like, I guess I could run. I guess anyone can. Joe,
I think you'd be overqualified.
Yeah, at this point.
Joe, you know, before you go, I mean, you famously, of course, wrote Primary Colors. I guess it was anonymously written, but by Joe Klein. You know, obviously about the whole Clinton election. Do you really, because everybody, remember at the time, said, oh, my God, I've never seen it like this out here. It's so nasty. It's so toxic. I mean, is it worse?
Yeah, that's what
I thought.
It's much, much, much.
Because
much
we thought they hated
worse.
Clinton, right? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they were really worried about Clinton. The thing that was most bothersome about Clinton to Republicans is that all of his vices played really well with working class men. I mean, this was a guy who screwed around with lounge singers and ate at McDonald's. That's a fantasy life for a lot of people.
Yeah. Whereas, right, they're having more luck with, you know, making Obama sort of other.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, making Barack Obama into a secret Muslim is a much easier lift for these people than making Bill Clinton into something anti-American. I mean, this is a guy who famously said that he had AstroTurf in the back of his pickup truck. I mean, you know, I always thought that those were the things that connected him to middle America and enabled him to pass a lot of legislation that was needed.
Joe Klein, really enjoy your work. Election Trip 2010 for Time Magazine, and the most refreshing answer I've ever gotten from a pundit. I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. Joe Klein, thanks so much for your time. Talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
All right.
Okay. Wow.
Come on. When do you hear that?
Yeah.
That's our job, is to pull something out of our ass.
That's what pundits do.
I'd never get booked on TV again if I said, you know, I have absolutely no idea.
Well,
and
maybe
he does.
Maybe if we paid him, he might have some idea. That was.
Can we pay you to pull something out of your ass? 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Bow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, you heard it. Joe Klein of Time Magazine said I would be overqualified to run for office.
Yeah.
You know, people say that. We always take it like a joke. We're always like, oh, that's funny. Yeah. And now I'm thinking, apparently anybody can run for office.
You have more qualifications than Christine O'Donnell?
Apparently.
At least you can.
I've held a job and a house.
And your dad was in Congress.
Sure. Okay, so the debate was...
Yes, moderated by Wolf Blitzer.
Well, this is more evidence that she is Sarah Palin's mini-me. Because as you recall, Sarah Palin famously could not name one Supreme Court decision. And we've all, anybody that's ever been in school and faked it... knows that she was trying to fake it through the interview. She was sort of like, well, you know now, Katie, there's lots of things up in there in that Supreme Court that I...
You're going, I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
I'm like, oh my God, she's scribbling in the blue book. She has no... She literally knows nothing about the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It wasn't that she... Like, I think she... Katie said, can you name one decision that you
disagree
with?
She couldn't even name that conservative favorite Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, she couldn't even name the one that I'm trying to think that was she was involved with. From Alaska. I'll think of it. Anyway, my point is, this is the... So Christine O'Donnell last night.
What opinions of late that have come from our high court do you most object to? Oh, gosh. Give me a specific one. I'm sorry. Actually, I can't because I need you to tell me which ones you object to. I'm very sorry right off the top of my head. I know that there are a lot, but I'll put it up on my website, I promise you.
Oh, my God. I'll get it and
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Oh, my God.
Palin was a little more
anyone
folksy.
Anyone that has ever been in high school recognizes that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I... it's not that I don't know... Oh, my God, can you believe she asked for a spot there?
Yeah.
Can you, well, how about you tell me? It's like, no.
No, that's not how this works.
Yes, could you give me a hint of something? Could you throw me a water weenie here?
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Throw me a bone here.
I'm the boss. I need the info.
Could you send me a couple of sharps with laser beams attached to the head? With
throw
some
me
answers.
A freaking bone here.
With some
I'm
answers.
The boss. Need the info.
That's exactly what she was saying.
I need the answers attached to the laser beams on the shark's head.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Nice try, though.
Wow.
You gotta give it to her. Nice try. Oh, but if you just tell me one, and then I'll tell you. You just felt like going, do you have any idea about anything in the world at all? Do you have any thought in that fully functioning mouse brain of yours?
Oh, and she dodged a question about evolution by accusing her opponent of upholding the tenets of Marxism instead of the tenets of Marxism.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, a tenant is someone who lives in your apartment.
She should have repudiated that, shouldn't she?
Yeah. Oh, bless her heart.
Oh, God, it's a season of dopes. 29 minutes after the hour, more crunchy audio goodness from the debate. Can you call it a debate? The one person would have to have some sort of idea about something to debate, wouldn't they? All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Received dozens of letters from fans wanting to know more about the show. Professor Lawrence Pierce writes, I think
Stephanie Miller
gets stupider every year.
None of us could breathe.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Pardon me. I'm here. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Talking about the debate.
What?
Huh?
Don't you just wish that you could... just any of those sound bites from the old Politically Incorrect. You could watch her debate. The mice with the fully functioning human brains and the, you know, monkeys evolving in real time in front of you. Mm-hmm. You know, just...
Whatever.
She has no intellectual heft.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
I've come to that conclusion.
That's... Yeah, so we already played the soundbite where she clearly, if you've watched any girl fake it through an oral exam in high school, that was it. Could you tell us one Supreme Court decision you disagreed with? Oh, well, I, could you help me out here? I don't, I don't know anything at all.
I mean, she couldn't even come up with Citizens United.
Something.
Yeah.
Repeat the Chamber of Commerce talking point from Fox News. Something. Okay. Chris Coons, her opponent, and Christine O'Dell.
I frankly think that we need to focus in this debate this evening and in the campaign, not on personal financial difficulties or background issues, but really on the issues in front of us. There's been lots of discussion in the national media about things my opponent has said or done that I frankly think are a distraction from the core issues that Delawareans ask about, ask both of us about.
You're just what jealous would you that do you weren't on Washington? Saturday Night Live.
I'm dying to see who's going to play me, Christine.
Silence from the audience on
oh
that little joke.
My God.
You're just jealous you weren't on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my God. She is just like the dopiest girl in school that we all knew. The pretty dopey girl.
No wonder she can't land a man.
Wow. She had bad timing with the joke. She, like, talked over him.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear that again? I have to hear that again.
Oh, God.
This is what passes for a debate in American politics 2010.
I frankly think that we need to focus in this debate this evening and in the campaign, not on personal financial difficulties or background issues, but really on the issues in front of us. There's been lots of discussion in the national media about things my opponent has said or done that I frankly think are a distraction from the core issues that Delawareans ask about, ask both of us about.
You're just
what
jealous
would you
that
do
you weren't
in
on
Washington?
Saturday Night Live.
I'm dying to see who's going to play me, Christine.
I mean, that was abject silence.
Tumbleweeds, barroom doors swinging.
Nobody found that funny, except for Christine.
No wonder, is she behind by, what, 20? No wonder
like
she's
that.
Behind by 20. Wow.
Surprised she's not behind by
yeah,
more.
You can't. That's the thing. It's like a soundbite can't govern. I mean, you know what I feel bad for? These poor, like, the guys that end up running against these dopey female Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you remember, oh, my God, the Joe Biden, Sarah Palin? Because remember they were saying that debate, he's going to have to be careful. He can't look like he's bullying.
Right.
Can you imagine what was in his thought bubble during the, he just was... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe seriously. Oh, Lord. Okay. Let's go to Joe in Spokane on Christine O'Donnell as well. Oh, wait. Joe's not ready yet. Pardon me.
Oh, dear.
There he is. Hey, Joe. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, my cat can't stand Christine O'Donnell's voice. It used to be Sarah Palin.
Yes.
Used to send her running under the couch. Now it's... I mean, it's like a clone, the voice.
Yeah, yeah. I know. She is Sarah Palin's mini-me, for sure.
Hey, I have another comment. The Chamber of Commerce, they have a goal. When people in Indiana are willing to work for the same wages as people in India, they will have one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, that why this is important, this Chamber of Commerce thing, and the right wing is trying to spin it, Joe, like nothing. But yes, the Chamber is patently for the outsourcing of jobs, and they absolutely take foreign money. And the fact that they will not disclose, to me, just tells you they're guilty.
They are guilty, and the sad point is most people don't even realize it's going on. All they're concerned about is sports or something.
The people
I work with.
Well, they try to spin it like, oh, well, the Center for American Progress. Who is it? John Podesta's thing doesn't disclose their donors. They're not doing political ads.
Right.
These ads are terrible too. I got to say, I see 5 or 6 ads back to back in the morning before I go to work, and they're all attack ads, and even the Democratic attack ads against the Republicans. They're all horrible. They're so bad that it makes you not want to vote for anyone. And I think maybe that's their goal, too, is just to get you to hate all politicians so much you won't even vote.
Yeah. Oh, no, my Republican brother who won't admit he's Republican always does that. Oh, they're all the same. They're all the same. Republicans, they're all whatever. It's like, they're not all the same.
If you listen
Pay
to
attention.
The attack ads, it sure seems like they are. But, hey, thanks, you guys.
All
Have
right.
a great day.
Thank you, baby. All right. Meantime, Meg Whitman, Jerry Brown debate. We just had what?
I'm just rolling my eyes at Meg Whitman.
Oh,
sorry.
I know you were thinking it, but don't yell it.
I was thinking IMAX movie. On her forehead.
I thought you were going to say the W word. Don't say it.
I think that was inexcusable, what that campaign worker did.
And
Jerry Brown immediately apologized and apologized again in the debate. So I think that should be over with.
Tom Brokaw.
Have you been in charge of the investigation of your campaign to find out who was responsible for using that phrase?
This is a five-week-old private conversation picked up on a cell phone with a garbled transmission. Very hard to detect who it is. This is not, I don't want to get into the term and how it's used, but I will say the campaign apologized promptly, and I affirm that apology tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, because the other thing is, are you kidding me? With all the trouble California's and all the issues we're facing, I mean, come on, like, people don't know that all kinds of stuff gets said that shouldn't in campaign offices all over the country. And, you know, yeah, it's unfortunate it got picked up, and absolutely, it was wrong, and he should apologize for it, but what does that have to do with anything?
It doesn't have to do with governing the state of California and getting ourselves out of a mess.
Yeah. Exactly. It'd be, you know, again, it'd be different if he said it, which is one of the problems with the media immediately started reporting that, like, oh, maybe he said it. And any reporter that listened to it said it was clear from this second one, it was not Jerry Brown saying it.
I've said things about you that if it got out on the air, I'd be fired.
You said things to me that you should have been fired for. If I had any self-esteem. All right, Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown.
I think every Californian, and especially women, know exactly what's going on here, and that is a deeply offensive term to women.
Can I just interject? Have you chastised your chairman, Pete Wilson, who called the Congress whores to the public sector unions?
That was a bit of a stretch.
She's talking about the use of the term, and it's true. What's his name? Pete Wilson did use the term.
Yes.
And by the way, you used a term that was much worse.
I certainly
speaking
did.
Of terms that are offensive to women.
I
know, you know what we're saying. It's the term that's offensive to women. The term. You know what I'm saying? The nuclear winter term.
I apologize then, and I reaffirm my apology now.
Thank you.
Now let's move on.
Just remember, I have this right here at my fingertips.
You're fired.
Yes, you do.
And I believe you were in my mind. You were sort of medium fired for a minute. And then I realized no one else will put up with me, so I took it back.
Oh, dear. Oh, are you okay?
Pardon me. Yes, I might need the Heimlich.
Okay.
All right. Let's look at, boy, it's hard to keep track of the bunch of crazies that are running on the Republican side. But how about the fun facts about Republican congressional candidate, what's his name, Tim Walberg?
What did he do?
You know, that's the thing. The crazies like Christine O'Donnell are grabbing all the press, as Joe Klein was saying. But you know what? There's a bunch of lesser crazies that really deserve some attention. Maybe they're not as cute and quippy and quite as stupid, but they're still crazy, and they deserve attention.
But they are closer in the polls than Christine O'Donnell is.
Yes.
Which is a little more frightening.
Let's give a little love to Tim Walberg, shall we?
Okay.
He's a former Republican congressman and current Republican nominee for the House in Michigan, in the 7th Congressional District. He appeared on a radio show last month and told the host that he doesn't know if Obama is Muslim or born in the United States. Now there is new video where he is once again addressing the birther issue. He said the reason the issue isn't resolved is because the president hasn't resolved it yet. He suggested, because he's an idea guy, they say it's the party of no ideas. No, Tim Walberg has an idea.
That's right.
Would you like to hear it?
What is that idea?
This is an idea for, apparently this will do something to fix the enormous problems the country is facing.
Okay.
He suggested that Obama call in radio hosts Alan Combs and Rush Limbaugh. I'm not sure why I was not mentioned. Congressional leaders Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. And maybe one justice of the U.S. Supreme Court and present his birth certificate to them in private. And that would clear all this up. See, I would be for this if he had mentioned me instead of Alan Combs. Then I would, because I would get some publicity, I'd be like, yes, I would like to see the president's birth certificate. I should be invited to that meeting.
You just go just to see the White House.
Yes. He then explained that there is little that Congress can do to force Obama from, quote, showing certain things, like the birth certificate.
But we've seen the birth certificate. Why?
Listen, can you not rain on my Tim Walberg love parade? He needs a little attention. But he suggested that Congress could use the threat of impeachment, but Republicans don't have that majority. So see, if you vote for people like Tim Walberg, they could use impeachment, you see, to finally get Obama's birth certificate.
You're not even going to scrape up enough Republicans to vote for impeachment over this
The president has a choice. He can have a meeting with Alan Cohn's Rush Limbaugh and maybe one Supreme Court justice and voluntarily show it, or impeachment is next.
Why Alan Cohn's?
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, I like Alan and everything.
Yeah.
But what... Okay, yeah, that's the only thing stuck in my craw about that story. What? 45 minutes. Oh, boy. You gotta... That guy. Spruiker guy. Dopey Christine O'Donnell stealing all his thunder. Meanwhile, the other guy's going, I wore a Nazi outfit! Why is Christine O'Donnell back in the news? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Take it down. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Actress.
The official rapper of the Stephanie Miller
yes.
Show.
Yes. Actress, official friend of Stephanie Miller, Amy Yasbeck.
Right.
Coming up next hour on her book on her late husband, John Ritter, With Love and Laughter, John Ritter is the title of the book. Cannot wait to talk to Amy. Haven't seen her in quite some time since my last canceled television show. She was on the panel of my last canceled television show, I've Got a Secret, on the Oxygen Network.
When did that go off the air?
Who can remember?
Was that when you were making bird suet feeders?
No, that was the other show that I killed on Oprah's last network that I killed.
Okay.
Pure Oxygen. Okay.
I can't believe you were doing crafts.
Which is why it killed an entire network. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. There's one thing you know about me, I'm crafty.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toe.
You're so good with that suet.
Mm-hmm. You know, every time you call me, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm making something out of suet. Making a ship and a bottle out of suet. Hi, Dwight, in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hi, Stephanie. I listen to you every morning.
You're good,
you
boy.
Give me a reason to go on.
Thank you. Oh, dear.
I would just like to say that we should require that all those ads, since we're all digitized now with the new television system,
yes.
That they be tagged. And then it won't be long that the Tebow boys will have it, so we'll have a switch and we can turn them on, turn
yeah,
them
we
off.
We can just mute them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I hear you. Something along the lines of the Fox blocker. Is there some, because those Meg Whitman ads are scary. Someone on the live blog had one.
Oh,
thought.
Yes. I have one simple request, and that is to have a candidate with an IMAX attached to her forehead.
Jean in Minneapolis here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. The official psychologist for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Desperately needed.
And we need some humor. And I thought you needed to know that in Minneapolis, a theater company is doing the Michelle Bachman musical.
Oh,
yes!
That is because that needs to be set to music, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
If they just for me, could they call it Bat Crazy? Could they? Come on. All right.
They already have Bat Boy the musical, so why not Bat Bleep
Bat
Crazy
the crazy.
Musical?
Yeah. Dory in Salem, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Now she seems mild compared to the new crazies.
Yeah.
Hello, Dory.
Hey, Mama and my beloved Mookies.
Yes.
I just wanted to share a story with you, honey.
Okay.
My 12-year-old came home from school, and she said, guess what? One of my favorite teachers is getting married to her girlfriend. Oh, I think you're going to want to pull out the You Go Girl for this.
Does she understand that Carl Palladino does not think that is a valid
I'm
nor
sure.
a successful life?
Well, whatever. But you know what she said next?
Hmm.
She said she's so happy that her teacher is proud to be gay.
Aww. You know, children really are the future, starting with yours, I think.
I believe the children. Right-wingers are afraid of my children.
What's that?
Right-wingers are afraid of my children. Because we have had same-sex marriage in Massachusetts for half of their lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see any difference.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you hope that that indeed is the future. You know, we're having Goldie Hawn on, and she has this.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but she's awesome. But she has this education outreach thing called Mind Up. And I thought it really is fascinating. You've got to stay and listen because it really is fascinating in terms
absolutely.
Of when we have the amount of bullying we have and we have, you know, the kid, you know, teen suicides. It really is important, I think, in terms of, you know, what's going on in our schools. So stay tuned, all right? Hour three.
Will.
All right. Thank you. Whew, I slipped a tease in on her without even, but it's true. I think it's a very timely thing with everything
that's happening.
Because, and again, it's not just around the gay thing. We have, you know, there's all kinds of horrific stories of bullying, particularly with just high tech bullying. And anyway.
You know, I was bullied for being fat.
I was bullied for being an Armenian wolf child. Not technically Armenian. I just looked like an Armenian man.
You know, nothing against Armenian men.
No,
who are great.
It's just not a good look for a Catholic school girl in upstate New York in the 70s.
Just saying.
Okay. By the way, did I mention this hour is brought to us by GoToMeeting? I don't think I did. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on that Try It Free button, and type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. You get a 30 days you can try it free.
Holy
and you're going to love it. Trust me. You know I'm always right. Come on. All right. Let's see here. Can you take your organ out for me?
Which one? I have four.
Why I never buy you pants for your birthday. All right. I would like the church organ, please, because... Yeah, I think this election cycle is proving one thing, and that is that really anybody can run, apparently. There's literally, it is just a match to out-crazy each other. Can you believe the guy is going, I wear Nazi uniforms. What do I have to do in this election cycle? To get a little, you know, Carl Paladin almost took a reporter out on camera. Mm-hmm. He threatened to kill somebody. Oh, God.
Or take them out on a date. We don't know.
Yeah, we're not sure what he meant by that. Mm-hmm. So now Ralph Reed thinks that God, speaking through Sean Hannity, is telling him to get back into politics.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous. We all know that God speaks through Glenn Beck. Has there been a geese flyover over Sean Hannity's giant Fred Flintstone head? No. He's going to talk to Sean Hannity.
Does Sean Hannity have giant Fred Flintstone feet to go along with that giant Fred Flintstone head?
I haven't seen him.
Really? You hugged him, for God's sake.
I wasn't standing on his feet like Wilma dancing with Fred. Maybe I will at the next radio convention.
Who can say?
I think I'm going to one this week, aren't I? I wonder if he'll be there. I think I'll ask to dance on his feet.
Is he going
to
be there?
I don't know. Since 2006, when news of his involvement in the Jack Abramoff scandal broke, a political activist, Ralph Reed, has stayed out of the spotlight. But now, that's changing thanks to a bit of divine intervention facilitated by Sean Hannity. Okay.
Man, that one made me puke.
Are they gay for each other?
I don't know. Reed, the former executive of the Christian Coalition. Oh, now he has a new one, the Faith and Freedom Coalition.
Oh, because you can only have freedom if you have faith.
With the faith.
Okay,
with it. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Reed recalled on September 11th this year, that was an accident, how a phone call from buddy Sean Hannity convinced him to get back in the political game. Hannity, though, not speaking for himself. He said, I wanted to know that this was not me, that this was not any ambition of mine. I want to know that this was the Lord. Hannity's response, Ralph, God is speaking through this phone line right now, and he's using me to deliver the message. Once again.
Oh, my
Somebody thinks a little
God.
Highly of himself, doesn't he?
You know,
he?
And there's people even bigger than God, apparently, that he's garnered support from already. Tucker Carlson, Gary Bauer, creepy Peter Lorre looking presidential candidate, and Karl Rove.
Oh.
Gary Bauer, wow. Who took him out of formaldehyde to offer his endorsement of Ralph Reed? Oh, God.
They're a mess on the right.
Patrick in Michigan. Oh, hi. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I was telling your screener there, I am a far right winger.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't like me at all.
I love you already.
Do you?
Yes.
But I believe, even though I'm a far right winger, I agree that there should be, that gay marriage should be allowed. Because I think it's constitutional.
What's that?
Because I think it's constitutional.
You are a good man, and you are wrong that I don't like you. I love you.
It is unconstitutional to tell somebody that they don't have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
There you go.
Thank you, Patrick. I love him. I may love him in a way. I need to rethink some things during the commercial
break. You want to gay marry him?
I think so. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Barely know her.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, heavens. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. We love it. You'll love it, too. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Tomorrow, don't forget, John Fugelsang joins us from the New York Bureau. And also, Oscar nominee Ed Norton. In the
Edward.
New York Bureau, Edward Norton, pardon me, in the studio with John Fugelsang in New York.
I think Ed Norton was a character on The Honeymooners.
Pardon me. That was not the correct Edward Norton.
Right.
All right. Coming up this hour, my friend Amy Yazbek, actress extraordinaire and now activist with her new book, With Love and Laughter, John Ritter, about her late husband, John Ritter, whom we all loved.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next hour, Goldie Hawn, you've got to stay tuned. First of all, Goldie Hawn. Who doesn't love her? I love even all the obscure films. You know, yours and mine, the favorite, Chicken Pepperoni. Which one's that?
Seems Like Old Times. God, I love that movie.
I cannot come to work. I have to get my feet scraped.
How long does it take to scrape feet? Longer than it takes to make chicken pepperoni.
We are the only two people in the world that remember that scene. Anyway, but Private Benjamin, Death Becomes Her, pick your favorite. I'm old enough to have been a Laugh-In fan, so, you know.
Really?
Does she still have that bikini?
That's what Squeezy wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's
still fitting it.
She has a great education outreach program called Mind Up, which really I think is fascinating that she's had gotten in a lot of the schools, and we will talk to her about that next hour. Yep. Goldie Hawn, check us out.
She has an entire foundation, the Hawn Foundation, which is helping to fund Mind Up. So, she's working behind the scenes on a lot of really, really
first
good stuff.
First Wives Club, that's what I was thinking of, First Wives. Oh, I just love her.
I still think her best movie was Seems Like Old Times.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't
Jim?
Think I've ever seen that one.
The one with the Chevy Chase and...
any of the Chevy Chase movies, anything she's in with Charles Grodin.
Charles Grodin was in that. Robert Guillaume was in that. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm saying if I were your accountant.
Actually, her maid in that movie Aurora sounded a lot like Hal Sparks' version of the adulterer minor yesterday. I am saying send sandwiches.
I have to get my feet scraped.
All right, StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Thomas did with a rebuttal to the You Guys Suck letter from yesterday.
Another
unsolicited testimonial from Thomas in Elgin, Illinois. Hey, Steph and crew, I just wanted to drop you a quick note in response to your hate mail mentioned yesterday that was titled You Guys Suck. The man wrote you criticized about your insensitive laughing when things are so serious these days. He also mentioned something to the effect that there are people with cancer or who had needles in their eyes that shouldn't, and you shouldn't be laughing when these things are going on.
Well, then you can never laugh.
Right.
Because
no,
bad stuff is happening
all the time.
Oh, wait till you hear Thomas's story.
Oh.
Well, let me tell you, as a 44-year-old guy who has had both of these ailments over the last few years.
Oh, God, he had needles in his eyes?
Oh, wait, it gets better.
When does that...
If it wasn't for you guys making me laugh, I could never have gotten through any of it. I've had a total of 7 surgeries in approximately 2 years on my right eye. They would randomly do what they call TPA treatment, which involves strapping my head down to a table and sticking needles into my eye to inject the medicine while I was fully awake without any anesthesia.
No! Not lovely Ludwig van!
And last year, I was diagnosed with cancer and underwent over 2 months of treatment with radiation and chemo. Oh. During those treatments for both issues, I listened to you guys about every morning. I even had the nurses put you on when I had my daily radiation therapy, and they still listen to you. The point of all this is I firmly believe laughter is the best medicine, and you guys were my best medicine when I was going through all that stuff.
Oh.
Keep up the great work and the irreverent and sensitive laughing. You have no many idea how many people you help get through their impossible days. Love and laughs from Tom and Tom. Top that.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Wow. He listened to us while he had needles in his eyes without anesthesia.
Yeah, take that, Goldie Hawn. You think you're doing a lot of good work.
Yeah.
We're
Are you doing it with needles in your eyes?
People get through things.
Wow.
Please send more sandwiches.
Please send the sandwiches. I am his thing.
Oh, did you see?
As it turns out, he was not his thing. Oh, and what happened, Jim, is the wife did not show up. The mistress did.
No, it actually ended up being his wife. The reports were mistaken. It was his wife that showed up and not his mistress.
Who is mysteriously down at the bottom of a mine. No. How did
he
that
did
happen,
not opt to stay.
No.
We were just saying he might be, the last one up. He was, I'm fine, really. I haven't had enough alone time, really.
It's a good guy. I have my MTV and sandwiches. So,
and so,
está bien.
I am staying.
That was a great rescue yesterday.
I know.
I was absolutely riveted to it.
Rescuers,
holy
it was
cow.
One of those human,
it just makes you think about American mines.
Yes, it does, doesn't
and
it?
How great. No regulation or unions.
Yeah.
Of any kind is,
Someone said on Twitter, Chile, 33, Massey Energy, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's dive.
Hat trick times 11.
Yeah. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, heavens, Bill, gambling Bill Bennett. We haven't heard from him in a while.
He's the dean of the institute where Christine O'Donnell graduated from.
Oh, the Claremont Institute of Gay Bashing?
Oxnard City College? No, I see.
No. Claremont Institute isn't even a college. Mm. It's a think tank.
Jim, did you hear the... do we still have the crunchy audio goodness of the Christine O'Donnell? If you needed more proof that she's Sarah Palin's mini-me...
Oh, yeah, God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
What opinions of late that have come from our high court do you most object to?
Give me a specific one. I'm sorry.
Actually, I can't because I need you to tell me which ones you object to.
Wow.
I'm very sorry right off the top of my head. I know that there are a lot, but I'll put it up on my website.
Yeah, sure
I promise you.
I'll get it done and bring it back to ya.
Gotcha journalism again.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Okay, then. All righty. Mm.
If you're running for office, you probably should know something about
something
the Supreme
about
Court.
Something. Especially if you're running for the Senate, which goes through the confirmation process for Supreme Court justices.
Uh-huh. Might be good to know what they do over there at Supreme Court. Mm.
Remember Sarah Palin? Sarah Palin at least did even a little better faking. Oh, well, no, there's so many up in that I have a problem with that I, in the...
Hammer America. So many of them. All of them.
And then when I'm in the vice presidency up in there making the laws and rolling up my sleeves up in the... judiciary up in the hull. Okay.
The only one Republicans know about is Roe v. Wade. Like nothing else has ever happened in the court.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, what do you think was in Joe Biden's thought bubble when he was debating her?
Jeez. What a pinhead.
Can't look like a bully.
Okay, Biden, keep your mouth screwed shut. So many things I could say here. All of them get me in serious trouble. I'm going to pretend I need a root canal, and maybe I should stash off stage and scream in the men's room. Get
I'm
it
just
going to
flash these piano keys at her again.
Yeah.
Pretend that I don't want to stick needles in my eyes. Okay, Bill Bennett on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
This is the law. It was passed by Congress, and I think the president has rightly said we should change it through Congress, through legislation, if that's the way he wants to go. I happen to agree with the policy. And certainly think it should not be overturned in this way, and they are right to appeal it. But, there's an awful lot of concern and worry about this in the military.
They're afraid that the policy is going to stay.
Yes.
Because they're losing a lot of good people who are really good at their jobs.
Yep. Yes. Okay. Oh, I guess you got me some Savage Wiener for breakfast.
I got you two helpings of it.
You do love me. Michael Savage.
One of the most corrupt officials in the entire government is the loudest liberal. Don't you always notice that? The loudest liberal is usually the dirtiest of the bunch. Mm. The one who screams the most about the poor. You help the poor. You help the poor. Listen to this story about Bonnie Frank.
What the hell?
Now, I'm not mocking Bonnie Frank because of his lifestyle. I understand that Bonnie Frank has a dog, and it's not a husky, it's a hussy.
Was he broadcasting from his basement through a tin can?
I'm guessing that he probably is, because there's probably no, from what I've heard in people in the radio business, no one wants to be anywhere near him.
No.
Ever.
Well, he did lose his San Francisco affiliate, which was his home affiliate, so
yes.
I think
yes.
He probably had to build a little home studio
somewhere.
There.
A little shack.
Yeah, that's
a little
why
Unabomber
it sounds
shack.
Like crap now.
It's in his bathroom.
Yeah.
It's a shower stall with a microphone in it.
Because it has some kind of acoustic tile in there.
Yeah.
Let's just say I know several unnamed people that have worked with him that he is on the Life is Too Short list. He's, to ever have any sort of conversation of any kind with. Okay, Michael.
Is he that way off the air? Have you heard that?
I've never met him.
Okay.
I've just heard.
It sounded like a recording from the 1930s, except it wasn't in German.
Blah, blah, blah.
Is Barack Obama a casual or a serious disciple of Karl Marx? I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. We get a limp-wristed quizzling of a president who bows to other world leaders. Remember Obama's embarrassing bowing down? To King Abdullah, bowing to Chinese President Hin Jintao.
Mm-hmm.
How inappropriate is this? And so there it is. I say evidently the words of Reverend Wright stuck.
Mm. Yes, it's much more manly to shove your tongue in the ear of the Saudi leader while you're holding hands with him.
Gee, I wonder what Savage's boyfriend would have thought of him talking about a limp-wristed president. Allen Ginsberg. Supposedly there is a little dalliance with Allen Ginsberg.
There you go with that rumor again.
Yeah, before he became a right-wing asshat. Not Ginsberg.
Glenn Beck and Ben Stein on the president.
You know, I think
he's a very angry guy. I don't blame him.
I think he believes in the redistribution of wealth and, you know, take it away from the...
But the people who believe in that are people who are angry, envious people. I mean, people are happy and content with their lives. Don't feel they have to take things away from other people.
Is he eating a sandwich?
A redistributionist, by definition, is a person who thinks you should take things away from other people.
Are we interrupting
that
your
means,
lunch?
By definition, he's probably not that happy a person. These are not very happy people. I mean, Mr. Obama grew up in very difficult circumstances. He's not a very happy person.
Did you bring enough for everyone, Ben? Okay. Did you bring a sandwich for everybody?
What was going on there is that they were eating Taco Bell to prove that America had better food than Mexico or something like that.
Okay. Let's.
And there was a discussion after that as to whether Mexico actually had Taco Bell.
Okay. All right.
That's the sort of thing that goes on in the Glenn Beck television program.
If I wanted to watch Glenn Beck gum his food, I would. Or I mean, what's his name? Ben Stein. Okay. I don't know why I just got a visual. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's finish up some Right Wing World. Then Amy Azbeck, actress, activist, author extraordinaire, coming up after the bottom of the hour. Drug addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh on the president.
Obama's policies are destroying the very foundation of American exceptionalism.
Mm-hmm.
What? And is it father influenced him? Is it because it's Frank Marshall Davis? Is it Jeremiah Wright? All of his professors? Mm. He's got a chip on his shoulder? No! Because the communist Chinese are paying his salary.
What? Wait for it. Where is his proof of that? I would like to see that proof.
That's his spin on people wanting to see where all this money is coming from.
Yep.
Going to the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh.
So he just throws it right back in our face and says, oh, bothers being paid by communist Chinese.
You know, Jim, you don't even have to be conspiratorial to go, let's see. The Chamber of Commerce gets a lot of money from foreign donors, and they are for the outsourcing of jobs, which have been done by the... Because, see, that's good
China,
for the foreign...
For example.
Not for...
That's a
yes.
tell.
Yes.
Rush Limbaugh would be a terrible poker player. He's he's essentially admitting that money is coming from China to the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. I mean, all you have to do is disclose. That's how you prove it.
Yep.
If you're not... I mean, seriously, who doesn't... Who doesn't know that? You know, it's like, whatever. I'm just saying, it's like ridiculous to, for them to just stick, go, oh, we're not. You'll have to take our word for it. Oh, you know, no further questions. Oh, okay, if you say so.
Yes, the Chamber of Commerce has a constitutional right not to say anything to anybody for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Constitution.
John Stossel on O'Reilly.
I fight with the unions and talk about our two choices, the battle between the makers and the takers. And you get to a certain point where if Peter can get the government to take from Paul, and there are more Peters, Peter's going to vote for that, and that sucks the life out of America.
What a tool.
All right. Yeah, unions are sucking the life out
of
America.
Yeah, sure, that's it. Mm-hmm.
After Reagan destroyed them.
Yeah.
From the Democrats.
And here are the Chamber of Commerce fun facts, which, by the way, Jim... You know, this election is about jobs, jobs, jobs. Or as the boner would say, we're out of jobs!
We're out of jobs!
China, I'm sure this is a complete, this is a complete kanwinky-dink. Over a million jobs lost in districts where pro-outsourcing chamber advertises.
Huh. Oh, dear. What a coincidence.
Strange. Two simple facts remain irrefutable when it comes to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce election spending. First, the chamber accepts foreign money, which by its own admission goes into a general account. Second, the chamber is buying massive amounts of political advertising from that account. Just this week, they spent an unprecedented $10 million in advertising in competitive House and Senate districts. Chamber has yet to reveal who exactly is funding these attack ads, though they claim we should just trust them that foreign money is not being used. The chamber's political agenda is long advocated for policies that outsource American jobs to foreign countries. The chamber's CEO frequently defends outsourcing. For example, in 2004, he said there are legitimate values in outsourcing, not only jobs, but work.
Recently, for people not living in America.
Right.
Yes.
Recently, the chamber came out against a Senate bill that would have discouraged outsourcing.
Wow.
A new report by the nonpartisan campaign finance watchdog Campaign Money Watch found that more than 1.4 million jobs were outsourced since 1994 in nine states in which the chamber is spending significant money.
Mm-hmm.
And also at Campaign Money Watch, they say that the chamber is raising foreign corporate money and supporting policies that lead to the outsourcing of American jobs overseas. The 31 Senate and House candidates who are benefiting from political spending by the pro-outsourcing chambers should address the controversy surrounding foreign funding.
Yep.
There's the jobs, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you had a caller earlier talking about, oh, how the negative ads, they're all the same. They're all so negative. I hate them. The one against Carla Fiorina is very good because it points out that she outsourced jobs to places like China.
Yes.
That's not negative campaigning. Those are facts that you need to know.
That's campaigning.
Yep.
They happen to be negative facts.
This is the Republican agenda. They want to ship American jobs overseas and destroy the middle class.
The jobs went to Shanghai and not San Jose.
See, and you know that they're losing, you know, the argument when they're spinning about Karl Rove, Ed Gillespie, the chamber's chief lobbyists. They've all parroted the line that the Center for American Progress doesn't disclose its donors.
Yes.
There's hypocrisy.
And they don't do political ads.
Yes, they don't run political ads
like
the chamber does. So it's, I mean, talk about just distracting from the issue. So, look over there. By the way, and the Center for American Progress released a statement saying if they do ever run such ads, they will disclose
the
donors funding them. So there, end of story.
Wasn't that supposed to be a law or something?
Yeah.
Oh, but it doesn't apply to the Chamber of Commerce.
No. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Amy Yazbeck with her new book, With Love and Laughter, John Ritter, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
none of us could breathe.
Stephanie Miller
was far more disgusting than any of us could ever have imagined.
That sounded like Richard Dreyfuss.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, not very often do we have someone that's been on one of my recently canceled television shows.
Not too recently canceled. It was canceled in 2001.
Well, you know.
That's when you killed the network.
This century.
From the last network of operas that I killed. But she is an amazing actress and an old friend, Amy Yazbek. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
How are you, honey?
Stephanie.
I miss you.
No, you don't even know how much I love you.
I warned that there might be crying this hour.
I know. Oh, don't. I know. God, that got to me. Just thinking of you, you're punim. I love you.
Oh, I love you too. Seriously, was that show the most fun ever? I've Got a Secret on the Oxygen Network.
If that was work, I would work 24/7 to the day I die. I've never laughed so hard, met so many interesting people, and all of them were just splinters of your personality. No,
yes, they were all figments of my imagination. Well, you know, people know you from The Mask and Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and Wings, of course.
None
but
of that compares to.
No, but I just. But you remember the panel was Terry Garr, you, Jim J. Bullock. I mean, it just was.
My favorite was it was me, Terry Garr, Jim J. Bullock, and then there was another man, and I always say, and then the other guy, there was always that rotating man, which is how I like my men.
Yes, we had
if
a rotating.
I remember correctly, I don't know. Let me clear away the cobwebs. Oh yes,
a rotating fourth panelist. That's right.
Man. Stephanie, but could you tell back then that I had a crush on you?
Oh, now Amy Yazbek, don't go starting rumors. Now you know I have talked about. Here's the part where we cry. I've talked about this on the air. That, you know, obviously all of us just so shocked because, of course, John Ritter, your husband, came and did the show with us. And, he is, of course, what everybody said he was, not only hilariously funny and talented, but I just remember him being so kind to me. And I, of course, was just a nobody. But that was the way he was.
But see, and as stupid as this sounds and as easy as it is to say about people, but you get it because you met him.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as a nobody. You know what I mean? John wasn't like there wasn't the above the line and below the line people. John was just who he was dug people.
Loved their stories.
Some comedians, as we know, some stand-ups and some comedians, people are just kind of grist for their mill in the kind of creepy way.
Yeah.
Like they're always like at a roast or something.
Right.
But John just like soaked it up.
Well, let me speak as I actually am a nobody, but I just remember it's like little moments. I remember I was really sick one time. You remember we did like 5 shows a day on I've Got a Secret, and I just remember you guys were both so kind, and I remember, you know, you took a moment to say, you know, John just wanted me to tell you that he thinks you're so great. He can't even believe you're sick. You're so funny. He was just so generous like that with other people.
Trooper, and John's thing was that he always said, which was hilarious, just like he would say all these like queer showbizzy theatery stuff just to make everybody laugh, but he would, if anybody was, you know, telling a story and accidentally farted or dropped a dish or something, he'd go, okay kids, if that happens on show night, just keep going. You know, and so when he would, but he really did kind of believe that, you know, that's like, hey, nobody cares how you feel, they're there to see the show.
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing I always talk about,
yeah, I remember that.
The other thing I always talk about, Amy, is what just amazing parents you guys were, because I was there. I remember in hair and makeup.
Stella.
I remember you would bring Stella on the set, and you and John. Do you remember you used to do Jerry Lewis together to her? You both would be in hair and makeup, like going, "Hey, Stella, look over here."
She is so freaking warped. Imagine. No, because after you read Goodnight Moon for the 115th time, you're gonna start doing bits. Goodnight Moon, huh? The kid has got it. You know, she has it genetically, and then it's nurture, nature, and Leiden.
Now, how old is Stella now?
She's 12. That's how old we are.
Wow. I mean, seriously, you guys were just the greatest, most hilarious parents to her. How is she doing now?
Okay. First of all, we got to figure this out off the air, is that you've got to meet her because you will freak out. First of all, she looks like John.
Wow.
With just enough of me in her to make her hair impossible to do in 5 minutes in the morning. Quarter Lebanese is really taking the time up in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is so much like him. And that, I mean, I kidded about the nature and nurture, but it's, she must have absorbed so much in those 5 years. I mean, that's part of it. And the other thing is, she's a writer. She writes the funniest stuff ever. And she's, I don't know, she's cool. I mean,
she's hilarious. I mean, she was
really wise.
She's hilarious, like both of you, even back then. And I remember this just sort of funny and heartbreaking story you told, I think, on TV at the time, that when you said that Daddy's in heaven, you know, yeah. She'd tell that story.
Oh, thanks, Stephanie.
Sorry. She looked well.
No, it was right after, like a couple weeks after he died. Something on ABC did something. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I was hardly like sitting up straight. Yeah. And there was a thing about Dad, and she was watching TV, and then she just put her arms up and stood on top of the bed, and she goes, "Drop them." And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "Just drop them." And I'm like, what? She goes, "I want heaven to just drop him back down to us."
Oh,
and, you know, she was, like, threatening him and, like, drop him and nobody gets hurt kind of thing.
So, yeah, a little hostage crisis, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a little hostage crisis. Because, you know, at five, I mean, she, you know, he died on her fifth birthday.
I know.
Which is just the cluster F of the universe. Oh, and it was September 11th. Anything else? Don't ask.
Yeah, anything else,
but,
God?
Yeah,
I know.
Jeez. But she has... I think she was always going to be an interesting person because of the situation. But this has kind of, I don't know. You know, you can't help what happens to you. You have zero control. It's just how you react to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, how you respond. And her response, with the help of me and the family and the world, has been to kind of not just deepen her, which can make you a really creepy person if you're, like, way too deep at five, but kind of widen her view of life.
Yeah.
She can wrap around her arms and her mind around a lot of things. She's very, very liberal, like her dad. She goes, "What do you think Dad would have thought about this?" Well, Dad was a total bleeding heart liberal.
Yeah.
So I tell, "Well, I think this. Dad would have thought that." And she makes her own conclusions, but she comes down on the really inclusive side of the line, which makes me so happy.
Yeah. Well, Amy, you know, it's funny. It, even if I didn't know you and John and all of that, I mean, this would have been the only show prep that's ever made me cry because, I wrote to you at the time, which I'm sure, you know, thousands of people did. But
no, I got it, Stephanie.
But, you know, it really, this was the part that made me cry. Amy Yazbek's powerful story reminds us that love never dies and that the laughter doesn't have to end. And it just, I can't, honey,
Stephanie,
I can't even...
I
know. I just can't imagine what it was like for you, and I know that's what the book is about. And I love that it says it's an ultimately hopeful journey about surviving a devastating loss.
Here's the deal. Look, I had all the, you know me, I'm a smartass, and I had a lot of, you know, smartass titles. And my favorite for the book that Simon Schuster went, "No, not so much," it was, "Is this a bad time?" Which would call me, you know, and I'd be like, "Hello? Oh, is this a bad time?" I'm like, "How many frickin' years are you going to say that?" Yes, it's a bad time. My husband died, but I still have to answer the frickin' phone.
Yeah,
you know? But they talked me down. And I'm like, well, there is like a little instruction John left for his fans in the world, which he would sign headshots. Well, sometimes he would say with "Hot Monkey Love." He signed one to my sister like that. I don't know what that's about. I'm still working on that. But he a lot of times sign it with "Love and Laughter," John Ritter. And that's just kind of like, hey, with "Love and Laughter." Unless you knew the guy and you're like, holy crap, that's his whole philosophy of life.
Right.
So it's nice when somebody has passed and they have left you instructions.
Yeah. You know, I started learning the lore of John Ritter. I went to USC where John Blankenship would talk, and our professor would talk endlessly about John Ritter. And then you meet him and you go, oh, I get why. Because he really was such an unbelievably unique, funny, and kind human being.
It is. And look, you and I both know, no names, but we know people, I know, that are so funny, and everybody's like, oh, my God, I really like in person, and you have to lie.
You're like, oh, they're great.
Or throw them under the bus, the Hollywood tour bus.
Yeah.
They're great, or, you know what, but with John, what was he like? They're like, I loved John Ritter. And I, my response is, he loved you too. Because he did. He loved his job.
He did.
Loved being able to connect to people like he was sitting at dinner with them. There's lots of little stories like that in there about his farty humor.
Yeah. Amy, talk about, you know, because we've all been through something similar like this in our family, you know, and I love the fact that you're really using this as a call to action for the public and the medical community. You have it, you form.
Who knew? I mean, the deal is, I mean, I knew that somewhere between OCD and ADD, where they, the Venn diagram goes together, there's WTF. And that's what I have used because I have no sense of protocol. I don't know how things work, and yet I can be obsessed at the same time. So after John died, I just lived for Googling about aortic dissection. Like, what is this? And why are some people saying they live through it, and other people say it's a ticking time bomb, you can't live through it? And it turns out that's crap. And so I just started calling, as if I didn't know better, maybe I didn't, the head of this university, Mayo Clinic, this thoracic surgeon, this politician, and going, talk to me about this. Why don't we know about this? Why doesn't the public have this information? And I just started throwing it together and introducing people over the phone and then calling families individually and talking to them about their experiences, and found out this genetic research was going on for it that was funded, but funding was kind of going to run out, and it didn't have really a name and a punch, and now it does. It's the John Ritter Research Program. Hmm. And then my foundation is John Ritter, johnritterfoundation.org.
Yes.
And this genetic, Stephanie, I hate to say how old we are, but do you remember, I mean, unless I'm crazy, wasn't there a time before we knew, like, breast cancer was genetic?
I know. Well, I mean, I think, you know, Amy.
And now it's like somebody goes, well, my grandma or my aunt died of breast cancer, and everybody in the room goes, you better get checked.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
5% predisposition that you may have if you have the gene. For aortic dissection, it's 20%.
Well, I mean, I think everybody understands, you know, the horrible pain that you must have felt in the first place, but then to discover this is something that could have been prevented, and the fact that you've turned all that pain into something that's going to save other families from this, I think is just, you know, amazing.
I think, look, John did not take his celebrity or notoriety or whatever lightly. He showed up at every event somebody asked him to. He hosted everything, and he spent all those years doing the United Cerebral Palsy Telethon. His brother Tommy, his older brother, has cerebral palsy. And so John understood that that was part of the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his name being part of this, he's still getting to do that. And people are getting to walk into an emergency room and go, I'm not leaving here unless you check me for the John Ritter thing. Don't kill me by treating me for a heart attack like you did John. As bluntly as that, and their lives are being saved. It's insane.
Yep. Yep, honey, it's the best. You know, it's the best. You know, gift that you could give, and the book is With Love and Laughter, John Ritter. I order you to buy it, and I'm proud to call Amy Yazbek my friend. And I will get together with you and Stella, as old as that will make me feel, because I haven't seen her since she was five. So I will feel
a
thousand.
I had my camera when I first got my camera backstage of you and me and Jim J. Bullock somehow dressed as a superhero. I can't remember for what bit it was because we were really, really weird.
Yeah.
Spinning around going, Wonder Woman. I mean, you might have done that anyway.
It's the thing I hear most about the show is, oh, my God, it was so hilarious. And, oh, my God, Amy Yazbek, so funny. Wow, is she hot.
yeah. Stephanie, please explain to the folks, because Stella doesn't believe me, how good I was at it.
Oh, you're scarily smart. You would always guess the secret.
Was that Terry Gar? Because I got it all right. I'm scary.
Yeah, you're like CIA smart. It's scary.
Right?
Yeah, right?
Nobody believes me.
Amy Yazbek, the book is With Love and Laughter, John Ritter. Love you, honey. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, you will.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. She's amazing. Yeah.
She is seriously scary smart. She was like some sort of psychic CIA agent. I've got a secret. She would just like bore into the contestant. And I was like, that's too easy a secret. Amy Yazbek will guess it.
And she has a bit of a potty mouth.
Yeah.
We had to bleep her.
Well, we had to take out an 8-second chunk of the show because
that section contained a word that cannot be said on the radio.
However,
but we love her.
It's available on the podcast for $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. So you can hear what Amy Yesbeck said.
We got to get cameras up so you can see Chris's eyes widen and him lunge for the dump button. Oh, and by the way, another fun fact about Amy Yesbeck.
She's super hot. Oh, everyone knows that.
Yes, Jim, we know that. Is that she was in my one sitcom acting scene in which I said, Bone King.
All right, already.
Carol Leifer's fabulous sitcom that Amy Yesbeck was on, and I was in one scene in which I said, Bone King. Okay. 49.
Wasn't Hal Sparks one of your rotating men?
Yes.
That she was talking about?
Yes. We've all rotated on Hal Sparks. Mm-hmm. 49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the kind of mind-numbing schlock that's turning our society into a cultural wasteland.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ow! Goldie Hawn is in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated as we speak.
Another hot comedian.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, Jim is lousy with him.
Googling the bejesus out of Amy Yesbeck.
Looking at. Whoa.
God, by the way, I have a.
Smart, funny. I don't think
I've ever seen a picture of her less than. Shirt and, I mean, what kind of pictures are you Googling?
Oh, nothing naked.
No.
All right.
She's just... Love of God. Okay. Anyway. Oh, here's a magical one-degree Amy Yesbeck separation. So, the Carol Leifer sitcom, All Right Already, that she had a role on, that I had a walk on, in which I said, Bone King? That, I don't remember. I dated someone named the Bone King in this episode. Anyway, So I just saw Carol Leifer like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
She's working on something new.
Oh, really?
That I believe she said she'll come on the Stephanie Miller Show to talk about first. So
Will she give you a walk-on that, too?
I'm hoping.
An under five?
Whenever Carol Leifer does something new, there's a chance for Mama's acting career.
What's left of it?
Yeah, exactly. All right. All right. Did you know, fun fact about Carol Leifer, people that don't, Elaine on Seinfeld, based on Carol Leifer.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
I did know.
Thank you. I know. Not everyone does.
Now she likes the ladies.
Indeed.
I suspect she did then, too.
No, she dated Jerry Seinfeld then.
Well.
No, it's a magical story. She's with the first woman she was ever with. She dated her first at 40, and they're still together 15 years later. Two kids.
Wow.
Lori, beautiful. They're very happy.
Yeah, what happened to you?
That's such a great story. Okay. That crazy Michelle Bachmann, by the by.
Yes.
She was asked to comment on the White House and Democrats' calls for the Chamber of Commerce to disclose its donors. She said, oh, well, this is about as low as it goes. You see how low it is, Jim, when you're asking for proof of things? She said it's a flat-out patent lie. Really? The Chamber of Commerce, who has been accused of taking foreign contributions to spend in elections, is absolutely not doing that.
Really?
Oh, well, she says so. So then.
Mm-hmm. Prove it.
They have a separate political action fund, and they use only from American donors. Yeah.
Confucius says no.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Here's the fun facts, Michelle Bachmann. The chamber does indeed have a political action fund. However, its PAC, this is a little bit, check out this fuzzy math, Jim. So far raised $161,000 and spent only $104,000. Yet the chamber itself has spent more than $12 million so far and plans to spend $75 million. Where could that be coming from?
I wonder.
Why is the chamber spending so much while its PAC stays on the sidelines? Huh. Disclosure!
Look over here!
Federal election law requires political action committees to reveal who's giving money to fund its campaign interests. So, prior, of course, to the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, the chamber would have had to run its political ads out of its PAC, contributions to which are disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But the court's decision allows large corporations such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to spend unlimited amounts of money now on political campaigns without publicizing their donors. Yeah. Citizens United provided the chamber with an end around campaign finance law. Indeed, after Think Progress's report, the chamber not only refuses to say where the funding for its $75 million campaign comes from, but also will not provide that prove that it separates foreign from domestic funding. We are not obligated to discuss our internal procedures, they said. Yeah, but I guess Michelle Bachmann thought she knew a little more about that.
She doesn't know much about anything,
does
she?
This country is so screwed. You're a lying, scheming,
stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap. By the way, did you see Jon Stewart's hilarious thing as usual? Playing back-to-back clips of Fox personalities alternatively fear-mongering about the mosque's alleged foreign funding and dismissing that of the chamber. Stewart adeptly points out the hollowness of their defense of the business group. Oh, by the way, Fox's parent company gave the chamber $1 million.
That's right.
Last month.
Not sure that's a coincidence.
Yeah, Fox News personalities and pundits have rushed to the right-wing business group's defense, the Chamber of Commerce. They've tried to paint the lobbying behemoth as an innocent victim while reflexively and baselessly attacking the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Think Progress is, you know, they throw out the George Soros. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah, and of course.
And I'm sure CNN said, oh, look, it's all the same. Mm-hmm. Everyone's doing exactly the same. Mm.
Yeah.
They should have borked Alito and Roberts.
58
None of
minutes
would be happening now.
After the hour. Back with Goldie Hawn next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You know, it's not often that you get to see me completely geek out during an interview. I think it's lucky she's in our New York bureau and not here live in person. Ladies and gentlemen, Goldie Hawn!
Thank you.
See,
I love that music. It makes me so happy.
Me too. Can I just tell you what makes us happy? We heard you before we started with the Goldie laugh. And just the Goldie laugh made us go, oh my God, I love that laugh. Ever since laughing, I've loved that laugh.
We need to laugh more, honey.
I tell you what, this is how geeky we are, and we're going to get to your amazing work and the Mind Up program and all that, but Chris Lavoie and I can recite entire scenes from Seems Like Old Times.
That's right.
That's how much we love you.
Yes.
Don't you snap at me. But Aurora, what about the chicken pepperoni?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I have to get my feet scraped.
How long does it take to get your feet scraped?
Longer than it takes to make chicken pepperoni.
All right, there you go.
Very nice singing, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, then we were listening to you sing. You have a gorgeous voice.
Oh, wow.
You sound like Julie London from back in the day.
Somebody could actually hear me?
Oh. We could hear you. Sorry.
Oh,
we were like, it's like being in Goldie Hawn's shower. This is awesome.
Well, I do sing a lot. I sing all the time. In fact, I used to sing in the stores, and we'd go shopping with the kids, and the kids would say to me, Mom, you're singing. I said, I know. Let's sing. Let's keep singing, guys. Why not? So I was, Oliver said to me, Mom, you're so open.
Well, I'm such a geek, though. I suddenly am picturing the final scene of First Wives Club and the whole,
Well, of course, that was, like, great, wasn't it?
Oh, it was awesome.
Into the rising sun.
I can't even pick a favorite. Death Becomes Her, Private Benjamin. I'm just seriously a big, huge, geeky fan. Now,
thank you.
Let's talk about what you're doing, because obviously using your celebrity for such a great cause. I believe children of the future, even though I don't have any. But
yes,
you know, this is so timely, Goldie. Seriously, with all of the bullying we're talking about going on in schools, teen suicides, you're doing this education outreach program called, it's a nonprofit group, Mind Up, and apparently a report just came in from Harriet Tubman School in Newark, just raving about the positive effects. So tell us what it is and what you're doing with it.
Well, it started, believe it or not, I've been very under the radar. We've been developing this. I guess we started about 9 years ago. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do this and to create this foundation was to bring more joy to children. It was a very, very simple wish of mine.
Right.
And what happened was, and we created this curriculum, we put it into schools, and we started it in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is where I was living because we were there for Wyatt and for his hockey.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, supporting his hockey. And really understanding kids are just committing suicide. Their depression rates are going up. A UNICEF study, 2007, was done that showed that children of the United States were the second least happy children in the world. The UK was number one. These countries cannot afford to have children in that state of mind. So I looked at this and I said, the well-being of our children is really being challenged right now. 9/11 happened. Our children were going to inherit a world that was polarized, that there was never going to be the same kind of upbringing that we had. And I thought, we're not equipping them with tools to deal with these things. And they're showing symptoms of great silent distress.
Mm-hmm.
So in doing so, we pulled together neuroscientists, positive psychologists, teachers, practitioners, and created a document, a curriculum, that we then put into schools. And we also tested this. And the results of our tests were stellar. Our research showed that the mind-up children were more able to manage their stress levels better because we did cortisol testing with our children. We also realized they had 63% greater rise in optimism. And we also learned that there was aggression that was lowered on the playground. Well,
this is so timely and great. I one of your quotes I loved says, we need to rethink our approach to classroom education, integrating neuroscience with the latest social and emotional learning techniques. A peaceful, happy child is the first step toward a peaceful world.
Right, it is. And here's the thing that we did, which I thought is important. We have learned so much about the brain. We're learning about the brain plasticity. We're understanding different aspects of how the brain actually works. The symphony in the brain is difficult, but there are certain aspects that are very simple to understand. My question was, excuse me, why aren't we, I know, listen, I'm drinking tea.
We have
I'm drinking
on
tea,
burping and singing on tape.
And I'm excited. Right. And I may burp again.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. This is the most awesome interview I've ever had.
I'm totally excited.
All right.
But anyway, because this work is really very, very profound, you know, and so what we've taught is the brain. So we're teaching the children how their brains work, how their emotions actually connect to the link to the brain. We give them 3 times a day, they actually, what we call brain breaks, which means every brain has to get centered. Every brain, not just yours, your mom's, your dad's, all of our brains need to come back to center. Why aren't we doing this in the classroom? They are so stressed, and we have no idea. They don't show us. They're living in silent distress. They don't know what. They're not going to say, oh, I'm so stressed out at 5 and 6 and 7.
Right.
But now they're beginning to become aware of that. Well, so that's you know, a big part of it.
Goldie, we've been, you know, having discussions a lot, and obviously in the wake of all the just sort of horrible news lately in terms of, you know, bullying and high-tech bullying and teen suicide. You know, is there something more going on today, or is it, are we just hearing about it? Is there more news cycles? Are kids more depressed?
You know, I had a conversation with Arnie Duncan about this a few years ago because, you know, we've got a lot of money. We're fixing a lot of schools. We're looking at our schools being broken. And, you know, my mantra is our schools are bricks and mortar. Our children are broken. What are the systemic reasons? And can we get underneath that to try to understand exactly why? Because until we know why, we're never going to be able to solve this problem. You know, a school is not the heart and mind of a child. So what are the reasons for why children are stressed today? First of all, I could think of 1,000. We have one aspect, which is our technology. Great that we have it. Amazing that we have Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of ways to sort of get into what we call our social network. But what is that really bringing the heart and mind and stability of our children? It's really in some ways stealing the intimacy that they have with others and that we have with our families. So that is not going away. But what we have to teach our children is how to recognize when they are feeling stressed, when they are feeling disconnected, when they are feeling frightened. If they can't put a label to it, they'll never be able to fix it themselves. So you know, we have thousands of children practicing this now. We have hundreds and hundreds of teachers throughout this country and Canada. And we're also starting in the UK, so we've already starting in the United Kingdom. So it is it's a movement, really.
Well, and just so people know, MindUp is for pre-K to 8th grade. It now exists as a 15-week lesson plan that's integrated into the rest of the school day.
That's right. Correct? So what it is, it's not an add-on. So you know you're changing the culture of your classroom. The teachers are so grateful because they can manage their classrooms for the first time. Because 3 times a day they have a brain break, which means these kids get quiet. So the teachers are completely renewed and rejuvenized. And the kids are saying, oh, now it's really great because one child said I could sleep through the night. Another child said I do this when I take my tests. It makes me not afraid. Another child said I was going to hit my best friend, but I thought about it and decided if I did, he wouldn't be my best friend anymore. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is creating time out for cognitive thinking, time out for a child to be able to say, what is the best result of my action? Now, we integrate it into, which is what we made sure we did, is that mindful tasting or all of the things we do, gratitude journals or acts of kindness, these are all wrapped into curriculum. So it's learning about what people are doing in social studies, let's say in China, or understanding the best benefit of the best food when you do your mindful tasting. You do adjectives around it. You learn your body around it. You understand digestion, so you have science. It's all wrapped inside of what these children must learn and the standards that these teachers must fill. Well, so this is what's kind of cool about it. You know?
It seems like, you know, Goldie, it really fills a need because the one thing I hear all the time, you know, whether we're talking about bullying or whatever, that parents feel a sense of sort of helplessness because mm-hmm. they can only do so much. The teachers sometimes feel a sense of helplessness. I mean, this program and you seem to be going right at, like you say, the emotional and sort of behavioral health of our kids
yeah.
that, you know, because there are things you can't control unless you start with the kids themselves, right?
It's really true. The kids are beginning to bring these tools and these technologies, if you will, back home. What they're realizing is that their brain is their own to do with what they want. When you tell your brain to do something, it will do it. We talk about technology. We tell these kids there is nothing cooler than what's sitting on your shoulders. And here's the deal. If you get upset, you can handle that. If you get into an obstacle, you can handle that because you want to. So this is putting the kids back in the driver's seat, and they're beginning to go home and tell their parents, Mom, why are you so mad? Just relax. I mean, take a deep breath because it's just whatever, just traffic, or it's just – so there's a way to –
And do parents ever say, don't you Goldie Hawn me? I know what you're doing. Don't you mind up me.
Don't you mind up me. I know. That's so great.
You don't know more than me.
Well, I'm adding, I must tell you that I've written a book now. Penguin is going to be is publishing about 10-minute mindful minutes for parents because our parents need to join in too. Negative reactivity, is so damaging to your child, and it's very damaging to yourself. So we're helping them understand what it is to take those mindful minutes for themselves before they do something they're sorry for. So it's a big order.
Yeah.
But it really is it's incredibly transformational.
How did you get to be such a good mom? I mean, you moved to Canada to support your son's hockey career. Take that, Sarah Palin. Now that's a hockey mom.
Oh, let me tell you about that one. I know what a hockey mom is, and it has no color. It is a purple color. It's not yellow, red, and it's not blue. I wear it proudly. Wyatt did play some pro hockey. We
yeah.
went there because, you know what, his dream was important to us. Katie's dream was important to us. Oliver's dream is important to us. And Boston's dream is important.
Yeah.
That comes first. So in this world that we live in, you know, I believed, and my world is very taxing. I made a lot of movies. I did a lot of stuff. But the first thing I thought of and the last thing I thought of before I went to sleep was the well-being of my children. And if I wasn't there, I darn made sure that I was on the phone or they knew I was going to be there. I mean, that's what the sum total. And when you get to be old as I am, you look back and you say, was I there? Did I do the right thing? Was I helpful to my child? These are the aspects of your life that matter.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you take with you. You don't take your job. You don't take your money. You take that legacy. So that's what I always knew.
Goldie Hawn, when you say out loud, as old as I am, there are women out there screaming,
I am not one of your fans!
Because they're thinking, she's doing this thing in Death Becomes Her. How does she look like that? How do you look like that, Goldie Hawn? Do you eat? Have you eaten
That's
since Lapin?
My next book. My tips.
Can you, wait a minute, do you have to go or can you stick around a few minutes?
I got a few.
Oh, good. Cool. We're going to get some Goldie Hawn tips next.
Oh, God, I don't know if I've got tips or not.
for your kids and your waistline. All right, 19,
you,
19 minutes after the hour. Right back with Goldie Hawn on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And don't let those screeches bother me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Goldie Hawn with us live in studio in New York. Thank God you're in New York because we are geeking out over here. We're just totally, hang on a second. Here we go. That was totally uncalled for from Death Becomes Her. Okay,
I just wanted to say a couple things I actually, that would be interesting to know also about the Mind Up program.
Yes.
Scholastic is publishing the entire curriculum. And this is a really important thing because it's a groundbreaking curriculum and program for people. And this is coming out in February. And we are in, I guess we're in two schools now in just Southern California. And we're looking actually for more trainers. So we're going to be, basically reaching out now for more trainers because once this curriculum hits, we're going to be training like mad.
Wow.
And it's www.thehawnfoundation.org if anyone wants to know more about what we're doing. I wanted to get that in.
And it's up on our website, too, at stephaniemiller.com.
I was, I was just about to ask, and I thought you've done this plugging thing before, I can tell. So if you want more information, and it's a fabulous program, but we have to ask you a couple of shallow Hollywood questions first. Do you mind?
I figured.
Now, we've been doing lines from Death Becomes Her the entire commercial break. But what, how, what the, you look exactly the same. What do you eat? What do you do?
First of all, I appreciate that. I do not look exactly the same.
Yes, you do.
However, what do? I'm going to be real, real cliched here. I really think happy thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these old Chinese proverbs about, the smile that you put on your face makes you younger.
Right.
It is really important as you get older to stay and have a good attitude. And darn it, if you don't feel like smiling, make yourself smile. Make it happen because everything changes in your brain when you do. The minute you turn those smiling muscles up, everything changes in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an awesome affect, okay? So that's number one. Number two is I try to, and I do work out almost every day. Now, that doesn't mean that I go crazy working out. It means that every day I do something, whether I run, whether I lift, whether I stretch,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, I have to find myself in a workout situation or in my hotel room doing something, my yoga. These are things that I do because it makes me feel good. I started out as a dancer, so I could never forsake that. Food, you watch your food. You make sure that you eat the right food. I mean, did I have waffles and syrup this morning with bananas? Yes. Why? Because I never do.
Right.
And I was able to have fun.
You can moderate.
So, without
becoming, and I'm going to make another Death Becomes Her reference, that woman, that was my favorite scene ever when you were wearing the Flubbercast and you were eating icing.
Oh, my God. I was just the best. I thought Kurt was going to split a gut when he saw that.
You wore this enormous fat suit, and you were eating cake icing out of a can, and you had, 75 cats. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It was a great modulation of character, I would say.
You can confirm that you did not drink that liquid, and now a warning.
I love it in films when you actually have quotables.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where you remember things like, I want to go out to lunch. I want to be normal again or whatever in Private Benjamin.
Right,
or,
right.
You know what I mean? It's like these are great, great experiences.
We're going to lose you real quick. What, do you have a favorite film? Do you have a favorite one?
I really don't.
You don't? There's so many.
I have so many, and I had great times. And I'll tell you something. The memory of a film as we make them are the experience while we're making it. So I would say the outcome is in the hands of the editor.
Yep. Yep.
I would say my favorite film was Overboard because I had the whole family with me and Kurt was there.
Goldie, we love you. We're out of time. StephanieMiller.com. Mind up. Thank you so much. Love you, Goldie.
Blessings, honey. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Stephanie Miller.
Please, for your own sake, fart in moderation.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Jim is so fickle, he's replaced all his Amy Asbeck screensavers with Goldie Hawn now.
Yeah. I was just commenting during the break that it must have been hard for her to play that ditzy character on Laugh-In because she's clearly wicked smart.
She's wicked smart, I know.
Yeah. She has a foundation for crying out loud.
Yeah. I know. All the people who play the best ditzes, like Lisa Kudrow, they're all like, you know, she's a brilliant Vassar graduate. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Goldie Hawn, how awesome is she? I got to talk to her all morning. Well, we could have Chris Farley done her all morning.
Yeah, remember when you did? That was awesome.
Remember the one time and you said the thing?
How many takes did it take you to do that? Icing from a can scene in Death Becomes Her.
That was one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in Death Becomes Her. She was wearing an enormous fat suit, a gray sweatsuit, and she was eating cake icing out of a can with 75 cats.
Yeah.
And she's watching Meryl Streep on TV, who stole her husband. Uh-huh. Oh, it was the funniest scene ever.
And don't forget, in Seems Like Old Times, she had a million dogs. Remember that?
Interesting.
Yes. She just like you.
And there was always the one little chihuahua that was last with a little bell.
Yes.
Bing, 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 bing. Don't you snap at me.
One little thing about that Laugh-In. It's kind of fun. They had something called News of the Future, predicting unlikely or bizarre future stories to comic effect. Dan Rowan actually named one, mentioning President Ronald Reagan in a story from 1988, 20 years from now, listening huge peals of laughter. He also predicted Stephanie Miller would actually vote for him, which is weird.
Yeah, which is a weird
But he also predicted that the Berlin Wall would be destroyed in 1989, which actually happened.
Wow.
Which is odd.
And here's another magical one degree of
Stephanie Miller
separation at my party. My birthday party a couple weeks ago, George Slaughter.
That's right.
Creator of Laugh-In. And Lily Tomlin.
Yes, star of Laugh-In. Right.
Who, I've been to her house and seen the Edith Ann rocking chair. So I'm just saying.
That's the truth. Did you know that Goldie Hawn was only in 15 episodes of Laugh-In?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Did not know that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mark in Minnesota.
Remember that bikini, though.
Mark wants to geek out over Goldie Hawn as well. Hello, Mark.
Oh, Stephanie, the best Goldie Hawn movie was Cactus Flower because she played the pretty young thing opposite Ingrid Bergman.
Wow. Didn't she win the Oscar for that?
Should have.
Yeah. Oh, no, she was awesome in that. I remember. Yeah, yeah. We can't get past our... We've been doing that all morning. And now, a warning.
Now a warning?
You remember, she had the big... When Meryl Streep shot her, she had the giant hole in her stomach, and she got out of the pond or whatever.
Look at me!
That was totally uncalled for.
I'm soaking wet.
Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Boy, there's so much to talk about. I want to comment really quickly about the Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh.
Pouring money into Wisconsin, negative ads against Feingold, Barrett. Poor Ron Kind is just getting slaughtered. He really needs help. Mm-hmm. So everybody go to kindforcongress.com.
The First Lady was there yesterday, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, but it's just unbelievable. It's the negative ads against the Dems out.
Yeah.
Out
I can't. I mean, Steph, I can't imagine how Russ Feingold could be behind it. Really, it really is a stunning year to me. I mean, he is such a great senator.
Yeah, he's just unbelievable. He always thinks about the people, for God's sakes. But I wanted to real quickly say I was just watching The View out of the corner of my eye, and I know Asshead O'Reilly was on. So basically, Whoopi and Joy walked off the set.
Did they really?
Yeah, he was going on and on about the mosque and whatever other, you know, douchebaggery thing he had to say. And they walked on.
Wow, awesome.
And, but then they eventually came back. But it looked like they walked. And Whoopi swore, which got beat. So it's interesting. It's something to look
All right, I'll check it out on the YouTubes. Yeah, Michelle Obama in Wisconsin.
Russ is always looking out for the people of this state. And I think that's clear in just about everything Russ has done during his time here in office.
Yes. Mm-hmm. God's sakes, she went on to talk about the last election and this one.
Many of us came into this expecting to see all the change we talked about happen all at once, right away. But the truth is, it is going to take a longer time to dig ourselves out of this hole than any of us would like.
All right, and then she went on to talk about the children. Michelle Obama in Wisconsin.
I see it in the eyes of the child whose mom has just lost her job. And that little girl worries how her family is going to pay the bills.
All right, here's some good election news. Harry Reid leading the crazy Sharon Angle by 3 points.
That's still within the margin of error, so I'm not comfortable with that.
She raised an astonishing $14 million in the last 3 months.
I wonder where that came from.
Well,
I wonder.
That seat is so important to the Republicans, so they're pouring every cent they have into that race.
And by the way, in case you haven't noticed, she's completely...
I hope we don't have to come. This is Second Amendment solutions.
Here's the good news is apparently this is tearing the Nevada Republican Party apart.
Yay!
You know, a lot of states with this all the teabaggery, the teabaggery and the douchebaggery going on at the same time. Hmm. You know, they've had to do the thing where they all pretend to come together in Nevada.
No,
even the Republicans are like, she is fat. I am not supporting her. The strain caused by Angle surfaced vividly last week in a stinging anti-Angle screed released by one of Nevada's most venerable Republican figures.
Wow.
And a vicious email exchange between two others. One of them said, what is difficult to overlook is her record of being totally ineffective as a four-term assemblywoman, her inability or unwillingness to work with others, even within her own party, and her extreme position on issues such as Medicare, Social Security, education, veterans affairs, and many others. That's a Republican.
But other than that, how'd you like the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Mike and Madison on the ads. Hello, Mike.
Hey, the reason why these ads are so effective in Wisconsin anyway is because they work for people whose heads are filled with cheese. I would imagine it's the same all around the country. Their format is real simple. They run an ad that ties in these Democratic congressional people that have already been there and are good people, but it says that, you know, they're tied in with the Obama and Pelosi funding of jobs overseas through the stimulus package, which is ridiculous. But you guys, it works on low information and low cognitive people. The best part about that we can hope for is they're so stupid they don't know where to vote.
Well, one can hope. Yeah. One can only hope. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I didn't know when you guys were coming back. I'm sorry. It's Steve from Long Island. I have two quick things for you. One, my wife and I refer to our dog as our dog-faced child. So you can never say that you don't have don't have children.
Right.
People just look at you weird. And I got a phone call, an anti-democratic campaign phone call against Tim Bishop out here in District 1. And he asked me some questions, like after I had said that I'd vote for Bishop, he asked me, what if I told you that he voted to raise taxes on the middle class? And I said, well, what taxes were these that he voted for? And the guy on the other end says, I don't know.
Not a very good push-puller.
No. So then he rephrased the question and said, what if I told you he was going to cut $5 billion from Medicare? And he goes, don't ask me that one either because I don't know the answer to that.
Wow. Let's review the Christine O'Donnell. It's the party of know-nothings. So
that's right.
As Chris Matthews would say. Mm-hmm. No, do you have it? We have to hear it again, the Christine O'Donnell faking it through the debate yesterday. She's Sarah Palin's mini-me, as we all know. And she was asked,
what opinions of late that have come from our high court do you most object to?
Oh, gosh. Give me a specific one. I'm sorry.
Actually,
I can't because I need you to tell me which ones you object to. I'm very sorry right off the top of my head. I know that there are a lot, but I'll put it up on my website. I promise you.
I'll gather it and I'll bring it back to you.
I'm dumb as a post. And you.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Oh, wait. Did you hear this one, Jim? This is another version of Joe Biden trying to debate Sarah Palin during the last... Chris Coons and Christine O'Donnell.
I frankly think that we need to focus in this debate this evening and in the campaign, not on personal financial difficulties or background issues, but really on the issues in front of us. There's been lots of discussion in the national media about things my opponent has said or done that I frankly think are a distraction from the core issues that Delawareans ask both of us about.
You're just
what
jealous
would you
that
do
you weren't
in
on
Washington?
Saturday Night Live.
I'm dying to see who's going to pay me, Christine.
Wow.
That's what
this
passes.
This is what we've gotten, just cute and quippy. That's what's running this year. Cute and quippy, like Sarah Palin, but can't think of a
thing. You don't
thing.
Need to know stuff if you want to be in government, because government's bad anyway, so you might as well just screw it up and not even show up for work.
Did you see
if
how
I'm
well...
I'm dumb. I'm like you. I'm dumb as a post.
Did you see how well that went over with the crowd, by the way? Where's my good, the bad, and the ugly music? It's just wow. tumbleweeds, barroom doors.
I'm not some holier than thou smarty pants in like the Democrats have. I'm you. I don't know a thing about anything. Government's bad, so I might as well screw it up.
It's just imagine on Sunday Night Live. I'm more famous than you.
Wonkette has a new article about her.
Mm-hmm.
According to people who used to be Christine O'Donnell's neighbors, she was sort of an odd but nice, perhaps one would expect. She would lounge on her front porch in her pajamas some weekends, smoking cigars and drinking wine with a girlfriend. But she also had a man over to her house all the time, and a neighbor complained about this because the walls upstairs are very thin. Surprise, Christine O'Donnell seems to be sexually active and now seems to live with her new boyfriend.
Really?
Yes.
Really? What? She's a slut.
Christine O'Donnell's ex-neighbors wish she didn't have sex so loudly.
Oh,
wow.
Goodness. She's a screamer.
I want a recording.
But I'm still a virgin.
Wow, no wonder she doesn't need to masturbate. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Her new boyfriend, who was described as a heavy-set Christian rocker with a pudding cup beard.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Phil, 45. I bet you there was a lot of, oh, my God, you're on my foot.
Oh, 45. Wow. Who's going to play that in the movie?
You're on my pentagram. Ow, ow, ow. You're on my, ow, ow, ow.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, Daddy.
I can't move my foot.
Oh, Dad. Oh, God. Oh, you're good. Oh, my God.
Pull on my pudding cup beard. Pull on it. Oh,
you're
yeah.
on the, oh, you're on yesterday's human chicken sacrifice thing. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You know you got me, with your pistol shopping. And I'm here helplessly, in love and nothing can't stop me.
No, don't fuck with me.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Don't do it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. The show's lousy with movie stars, for God's sakes. Edward Norton on the big show tomorrow.
Wow.
Along with Fridays with John Fugelsang.
And Bernie Sanders is tomorrow, too.
Speaking of movie stars.
That's right.
Okay.
We got swimming pools and movie stars.
All right. Tommy,
no Texas gold.
No.
Tommy has sent us yet some more dopey Christine O'Donnell
Texas,
on Afghanistan.
Gold, Texas tea. That's what I meant. You know what I meant.
Jim, as it turns out, not a science buff, nor a history buff, really. Mm. This is
when we were fighting the Soviets over there in Afghanistan in the 80s and 90s, we did not finish the job. So now we have a responsibility to finish the job. And if you're going to make these politically correct statements that it's costing us too much money, you are threatening the security
of our
homeland.
We're about to wrap up this topic. Let's just
finish the job
first
against
of all,
the Soviets?
First of all, that war started in December of 1979, ended in February 1989. It wasn't going on in the 90s. And the Soviet Union ceased to exist
right
around the...
No.
No,
we were fighting the Soviet Union in
and
the
so
90s.
And so we haven't finished the job of fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan, according to Christine O'Donnell.
Yes.
The word Taliban didn't even work its way into that.
Yeah, we created the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. We were funding them, the Mujahideen, to fight against the Soviets. We were on their side.
You know what, though?
Oh,
we may be paying a little too much attention to her. Mm. She is 20 points behind.
I know. Tommy said I could only watch like 5 minutes of the debate. She's like someone who walks in off the street to a hospital wants to do some surgery because she watched a TV show about doctors once.
Yeah.
I saw ER.
I can do it.
I'm a dope. I'm you.
I'm an idiot.
If you're thinking of voting for me, you're an idiot. I'm you.
Yeah. I'm more concerned about what's going on in Nevada and Wisconsin, though. Yeah. You know, we're going to lose a great progressive,
Feingold,
if things don't turn around.
President Obama was out trying to fire up the Twitter generation yesterday. It was a town hall where he did the blogging and the emailing, the Twittering, the Facebook, and even the Skyping. Holy moly, everything the kids are doing.
Can you do all that?
Sure, I do it all at once, and I clean my oven and...
It's a dessert
topping.
Shoot
ping pong balls out my hoo-ha at the same time.
What? Really?
All right, you know.
You've never demonstrated that for me.
Hmm.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Is there a clip?
I'll do it for Edward Norton.
Roll the clip.
Here is some bad news. Help our friend Alan Grayson, for God's sakes.
No, no.
They have his opponent up 50 to 46. And by the way, he did a debate where the other guy didn't show up. That's their strategy.
Oh.
On the other side, it's just not show up. His Republican opponent, Dan Webster, did not attend. Alan Grayson said, this is how democracy is supposed to work, an exchange of ideas, people laying out options for the voters to decide. But there's somebody missing, and that's the Republican candidate, Daniel Webster. He thinks he's going to have this election handed to him by the special interest. Webster had apparently a scheduling conflict of some sort, which did not enable him.
Apparently Daniel Webster is the devil.
So,
yes.
A debate is not at the top of his to-do list?
No, apparently not.
Alrighty then.
No, none of the Republican candidates asking questions, really not on the on the docket this particular go-round.
This is what massive amounts of cash, foreign cash, will do.
Yeah.
And then there's the voting machines. Don't even get me started on that.
Okay.
Talk to Brad Friedman, get you really depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, let's talk. Let's do some zippy celebrity stuff,
shall
we, before we go?
Yay!
You know, in my opinion, and I'm, as you know, not really, I'm not having had a successful relationship of any kind, but my point is that David Arquette maybe should shut his pie hole if he wants to get back together with Courtney Cox. Really, do you think talking to Howard Stern is the way to get... Jasmine Walsh, that's
the waitress he banged?
Yes, apparently, yes. Uh-huh. She is refuting his Howard Stern interview where he claims to have only had sex with her once, maybe twice. She's indignant, claiming she had sex multiple times with David over the course of...
That's kind of putting Courtney in danger, you know.
Well, it's just
that,
if you want to get back with your wife, don't go talk to Howard Stern about it, for God's sakes.
Wow. I guess he must be a good tipper.
So to speak.
Meanwhile, Courtney Cox is leaning on Jennifer Aniston in a bit of a role reversal there.
She'll be there for her.
Was that a Friends joke?
Life imitating art.
Hilarious. Mm. I think they should just get together, but maybe that's just me. By the way, speaking of which, Squeezy, there's a Glee controversy. Some cheerleaders shared some sweet lady kisses.
Oh, really?
Some sweet lady loving.
Girl-on-girl scene that included cheerleaders Brittany and Santana sharing sweet lady kisses, generating buzz. Santana said it's a nice break from all that scissoring. Oh, dear.
What? And then, you can say that?
Apparently they said that on Glee. There's a little bit of controversy about
it. Oh, dear.
And then Brittany suggests they sing Melissa Etheridge's Come to My Window. Why did I think Squeezy would have no problem with that and no comment really of any kind? He's concentrating on the thought bubbles.
And they are hot cheerleaders.
Mm.
I don't know if you've ever seen the show.
Okay. Avril Lavigne strips down for the November issue of Maxim, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Another note for you.
Yeah, apparently she goes topless. But.
And I love this. Anne says she's old-fashioned in terms of what she looks for in a man. That's the time you rip your top off is when you talk about how... old-fashioned.
How come you've never done Maxim?
The singer, because they've never asked.
Oh.
The singer revealed that she goes for traditional guys who are prepared to open doors and buy flowers for her. By the way, here's a tip for you. If you take your shirt off, anyone will do that for you. You don't really even need a man.
Even Jim.
Well, I've heard that if a guy comes up to her in a bar and asks her out, she'll just kick him right in the nuts.
Really?
Yeah. So that's the kind of old-fashioned girl she is.
I don't. Stephanie Miller Show does not recommend nut kicking.
No, we don't.
Okay. Lindsay Lohan allegedly tried to escape from the Betty Ford Clinic earlier this week, but only in an attempt to buy Sody Pop from a hospital next door because apparently rehab workers will believe anything you tell them, according to the superficial. Lohan's rouse was almost pulled off as it wasn't for her accomplice, another patient whose clothing got caught in a fence. Superficial writes, her accomplice clothes got stuck on a fence. Why do I get the feeling Radar Online is just using old Little Rascals episodes to make up stories about her accomplice got stuck on a fence. Okay. Right. Oh, wait, real quick before we go, did you see this? Ancestry.com revealed that Barack Obama and Sarah Palin are actually cousins.
Ugh.
10th cousins. And he is a 10th cousin once removed from Rush Limbaugh and 11th cousins with George W. Bush.
But they're cousins, identical cousins, and you'll find.
You know what, though? Anybody could be anybody's 10th cousin.
I'm
That's
like
not really
15th cousin of Abraham Lincoln or something.
Yeah.
That's it for us. Don't forget, John Fugelsang joins us live from the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fugelsang and Oscar nominee Edward Norton to tell us about his new movie, Stone.
And Bernie Sanders was just booked for tomorrow.
Senator Bernie Sanders. Don't miss it. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.